Sea Winds, written by Dorothy M. Mitchell, narrated by Colette Redgrave. We do not know where the path of life will lead us. Some will say that our lives are planned before we breathe our first desperate gasp, while others claim that we cannot possibly know our own destiny. But occasionally, just occasionally, life will surprise you. Chapter 1. Bearing the Loss. The small room was quiet. There was an air of sad calm. Dora looked across to the bed where Jack was sleeping. He slept most of the time now. She had been visited in the hospital every day for almost 2 weeks, sometimes morning, other times it would be in the evening. It depended on when Daniel, her eldest son, could manage to get away, get time off from his job on Hull Docks, where he worked repairing damaged ships that sailed into the Albert and William Wright dock. Jack had been in hospital for almost 3 weeks. Up to now, she had been able to visit about twice a week, mostly by bus. On occasion, Daniel had managed to take her in his car, owing to the fact that Mr. Abel Hardwick, his boss, was aware of the situation with Jack and had allowed him some time off work. Abel had shaken his head.
"Cancer's a bad thing, lad. Very bad. You go and see your dad. Give him my best. I always had time for Jack Reynolds. And if there's anything I can do, lad, just let me know. And please, give my regards to your mother."
Dora was thankful for Abel Hardwick's kindness. She remembered him at school. He had been big and fat, standing head and shoulders above the other boys, and rather scruffy-looking. He always wore a grey-knitted balaclava bonnet, and she recalled the smell of stale body odour that seemed to hang around Abel, but he had been very kind and quite gentle then, helping other boys with their homework, despite their cruelty. It was later discovered, however, that perhaps Abel Hardwick only did these good deeds in order to keep him with the rough hooligan element of boys who attended Thorpe Green School. The unfortunate lad had been beaten up on several occasions and warned not to tell a living soul, otherwise he would receive more of the same. To all intents and purposes, it would seem that Abel had been too scared to speak to anyone about his tormentors, and what he had suffered at the hands of certain boys beggar belief. The knowledge, when it finally came to the surface, gave Dora Reynolds the desire to help Abel as much as she could. This had cemented a special friendship between herself and Abel, a closeness that was to last and pay dividends in ways that neither could have envisaged.
Oh, the bullying was known about. But because Abel hadn't reported the attacks and one of the perpetrators of the cruelty was the son of the big-headed deacon of the school, a certain Mr. Horace Preston, this man had the same Christian name as his father, who was also one of the governors at St. Saviour's Church, nothing was ever done about the bullying. Mr. Preston Sr. was getting on now, but he still called some of the shots, so to speak. There were quite a few people who abhorred Mr. Horace Preston Sr., but brown noses could be spotted sniffing around wherever the moneyed gent laid his hat. After all, who wanted to upset that particular apple cart, especially when it bore such ripe fruit all year round and deposited it on a regular basis at the doors of Thorpe Green School? Corruption had been rife at that particular school, so had cruelty. One poor lad in particular, Abel Hardwick, bearing the brunt of it. During her school days, Dora had regularly wiped blood from Abel's nose and mouth and wiped a tear from his eye. Then she'd taken him home to the cottage in Bucket Row, where he lived with his mother and Gran. The old lady was very old, Mrs. Fran Hardwick. Abel's mother was of a nervous disposition and rather simple. Dora remembered vividly she was never made welcome at the cottage. Not that she minded. She'd never wanted to go inside. The old granny had frightened her, and Abel's mother always looked like a scared rabbit. Dora remembered Abel's mother always wore a headscarf, and one of her eyes was rather disfigured. Both women had passed away years ago, but Dora had never forgotten the strange set-up at Number 5 Bucket Row. Abel still lived in the cottage, and since his mother and Gran had passed away, the place, although feeling more welcoming, clean and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?